Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 219, How to Train Your Dragon 2. I want your limbs. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties because it's time to dive into today's episode. Hey there, animation addicts. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling.
And I'm Chelsea Robson.
So Chelsea, you've trained dogs before, right?
Yeah, I have a dog and I try to train her to do my best.
You've trained horses?
Yes, I have.
But have you ever trained dragons?
I have not. And I have been wondering, how do you train a dragon?
Luckily, you are in luck because that is exactly what today's movie is all about. I mean, training a dog is one thing. We've all seen the videos where you can basically teach your dog to speak English through a series of buttons that they push, which those videos are fascinating. Definitely check them out.
They're amazing.
Chelsea is a big fan.
I'm a big fan, and I keep looking at them and I'm like, I want my dog to speak to me because she's like super needy and I have no idea what she wants. So that's why I'm like, oh, they're great.
Training dragons is another beast for sure. So we actually have reviewed the original film, How to Train Your Dragon. So you can check that out, rotoscopers.com/38. One of my favorite titles of the podcast, I must say, How to Train Your Dragonite. So now we are finally diving into the sequel. But before we do, I have some house cleaning. I have some very important announcement for everyone. So cue the announcement music. We want to make the podcast the best show possible for you guys. And so we are going to be doing a survey. The survey is open right now. You can go to rotoscopers.com/2021survey. This is our annual listeners survey. And the real reason that we're doing this is because we are listening to your feedback. We get feedback through the DMs, through emails, through the reviews, and all of those things. And we really just want to make the show as good as possible for you guys and everything that you're looking for in an animation podcast. But also, you know, as we have grown, we do have ads on the show. And right now, they are kind of generic ads. And we know they're not the best. And ads are kind of everywhere, but it really does help keep the show going. So that way, we can keep bringing you this show weekly now, which is really, really exciting. But the better that we know who you are as the listeners and what you like and what you don't like, it gives us better data that we can go to advertisers to have some really cool products that we can recommend that would be way better than the Geico ad or the whatever, insert whatever generic national brand that currently is playing. So ultimately, by filling this out, it's going to lead to a better listening experience for you. So if you could take 5 minutes, go to rotoscopers.com/2021survey. And then at the very end, we'll ask for your email address. Anyone who does that will be put in a drawing for a $50 Shop Disney gift card. So we are animation addicts after all, and Disney is one of the family. So I thought that'd be a fun way to thank you guys for filling out the survey. So thank you so much in advance for doing that for us. I'm really excited to read your responses. We will be going through every single one of them. And of course, your email address, we will not sell it to anyone. We will not disclose that to anyone. That is strictly so that way we can contact you if you are the winner. So thank you so much. And with that, and speaking of ads, we do want to talk about a product that we have talked about on the podcast since the very beginning, which is Audible.com. I'm a huge fan of Audible. I've basically been using it for over a decade at this point, and I know Chelsea has too.
I have. I just had a great time on a little trip I took to New York. And while I was traveling from place to place, there was a lot of time that I was able to listen to a whole bunch of different books that I've had on my list that I just never really got to. So I got to listen to Jane Eyre, which I'd never read. And so I was like, I'm, you know, bring on the classics, as well as The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And ooh, I'm going back to an old favorite that I read at least or read or listen to at least every other year.
Let me guess. How to Win Friends and Influence People.
You are correct, ma'am.
Yes, I know my Chelsea. And the good thing about Audible is that you own the book forever.
Yeah.
So if you have a book that is a go-to, a favorite, this is the perfect way, because whenever you're ready to revisit some of the classics, some of your favorites, it is always there, which I think is great. I use... From my local library, I do check out audiobooks on their digital library, and there's been some really, really good books that I've read, but, you know, if I don't read it within the 2-week period, and there's other people waiting in line, which most likely there always is, poof, it's gone. And sometimes I have to wait 6 months to get back in queue if I didn't finish a book in time. And so that's what I actually really love about Audible, is that it's mine forever.
Mine. My book.
So if you use our link by going to rotoscopers.com/audible, you will get one free book. So one book on us. Go find your favorite book and download it, so that way you can have it forever too.
So check it out. Go to rotoscopers.com/audible. And with that, let's jump into the main film. It has been a really long time since we recorded our review on the first of this series. So How to Train Your Dragon, the first. As you said, it was episode 38, which, you know, just between you and me and everybody who's listening, I have a really hard time going back in and listening to my audio during those early years because, oh gosh, I was so bad. And I take full responsibility of that one. Totally bad.
Well, you mean the audio as in like the audio quality?
Yeah, or just the audio quality. No, the content is great. I'm listening to this and I'm like, the content is actually quite good. It's funny. We got Mason on there. I mean, like the whole time is a great time, but it's like my inner thing because I've done all the audio editing for it and I've learned so much over the years. And to go back to like to the early ones, it's like, oh, shudder.
Oh, I know. If only there was a way to just like hit the pretty button and just,
oh my gosh,
spiff it up and make it awesome. But that is for another day. That is a good one. Definitely go check that out, because if you want a good laugh, anytime Mason is on board, takes it up a notch.
For sure. Now, it is a good episode, though. And like the first movie, so good. And it just really teed off this whole series. On the one hand, I'm really surprised that we've never done number 2 or 3. But I'm also very happy that today we're starting and going to do number 2, and then next week we'll be doing number 3.
So let's get some background information about this film before we get started. Of course, the studio is DreamWorks Animation. It was directed by Dean DeBlois, which, pardon my French, it's not that great. The release date was June 13th, 2014. Put a pin in that. We'll be coming back to that date. The runtime, 102 minutes. The budget was $145 million. And it did stellar at the box office with $621.5 million.
Yeah, like, not too bad.
This was the second film in the franchise, and there is a third. And spoiler alert, we will be doing that on our next... Or should I spoil it yet?
I already did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I see. So going back to 2014, I have very, very strong, vivid memories about this film. Lots of the movies that came out in 2014, that was sort of one of the golden era of the Rotoscopers for both the website, the podcast, the YouTube channel. We were just really, really tapped into everything that was happening. And so I remember when the teaser image came out for this, when the posters, and so this is definitely something that was very, very much. I remember even like we got the picture of Hiccup's mom, but we didn't quite know who this person was and all the speculation. It was just a really good time to be an animation fan back in 2014.
They had some great films that came out in those years. I mean, first off, I mean, we were really in on the whole Frozen game, obviously, but you just had other great films that popped out.
Yeah, so some other films that came out in 2014, The Box Trolls, Book of Life, Lego Movie, very, very, very top-notch stuff.
That was a good year. Yeah. I feel like, you know, since the pandemic and everything, it's just kind of like, oh, just give me anything. Just give me anything.
Yes, I'll take whatever you got. So let's talk about this film. What was your first thoughts about this film or just watching it this time? What stood out to you?
Every time I watch this movie, and I mean every single time, that the first scene where they hit the water and they're just flying over the water scene, the animation is just still holds up so well. And it's just,
oh yeah,
it's so good. You're looking at it like, this is epic. This is really cool. Yeah. And I'm so proud of them for the fact that, like I said, every time over the years, and we're looking, you know, this is 2021 that we're recording this. So this is a good amount of time that it's still being able to hold up.
Yeah. You know, and when I was thinking about it, you know, How to Train Your Dragon, speaking of another year that was really great for animation, 2010, that's when Toy Story 3 came out, Despicable Me, the original How to Train Your Dragon came out, Tangled. There were just so, so many amazing films. And this movie in particular set a very high bar.
Yeah.
It's near perfect. I just love the stories. I love the characters. I love everything about it. I love how it wraps up, how it comes full circle. Mm-hmm. And so the bar for the sequel obviously was very high. And what I really love about this film is that they don't do what some sequels do, which is kind of like a rehash, reimagining of the original film and plot points in a way, but like done differently. For example, The Incredibles and The Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same story, but one is Bob Parr's story. The other one's Mrs. Incredible's story. They just kind of like flip places, and it's just, it's not as exciting to watch the sequel. The first one's great, but the sequel's kind of like, I've seen this before. I don't feel that at all with How to Train Your Dragon 2. I think they go in a completely different direction with the story and where they're going. And it's great for that reason, because if we were to watch another film where they were just training dragons again, which there is an element of like controlling dragons, so it's a little bit different, and they definitely take a little spin and a little twist on that, but I feel like it would have gotten old, because going into my next point is they've aged up. And this is one of the main things online in 2014, when we got that first still of Hiccup, and he was, you know, obviously a little older, a little wiser, a little hunkier. The fandom went crazy.
Yeah,
everyone was so excited. And so I love that we get to evolve with these characters. Just obviously they are growing up. It's not like some sequels and some films where they're just like static stasis. They're never aging. And with that, we explore new territories. And so, yeah. And so I just really, really like that off the bat, that we're getting something different here.
Oh, for sure. That moment where you first see he takes off his, well, oh no, before I get into that, where he gets his like base jumping suit coming out and he's got this wing. Yeah. So not only is Toothless the one that is flying, but you know, Hiccup he's decided that he wants to fly as well. So he's got all these wings and these gliding maneuvers that he does. And it's just like, dude knows how to make it happen. Like, I really like it. And then he takes off his helmet. And I remember that being a like, ooh, Hiccup is all grown up. It was funny. And then the chemistry that they have between he and Astrid in that moment, when she comes to like, give him a hard time and just kind of like talk to each other. And she's just like playing with his hair and just little things that it's like, wow, this was so well mapped out and so well planned and just felt so natural. I was so impressed.
They did a really good job with their relationship and just making it feel real, but not forced. Like, yeah, this is something that's just grown over time, and you can see that they're really comfortable with each other. They're older. You know, there's kind of a quote where he's like, "That's my future daughter-in-law." I'm like, "Wow, are they engaged?"
Right.
I was under the impression they were engaged, but
I mean, there's not many.
Yeah, put that stake in the ground.
Yeah. What are you going to go for, tough nut? I mean, come on.
Yeah, good points. Good points. Yeah, he really did strike the only well. Everyone's great. Okay. We will talk about Tough Nut in a moment. But going back to kind of, you know, one thing that I really love is the full circle element of the first film. Like, this is Burke, blah, blah, blah. We have dragon. You know, I can't insert weird voice here, you know? And then they do that at the end of the film. Like, this is Burke. We got, but with this, they do it again. And it's just enough of familiarity. It's just enough of the same to make you familiar, to reintroduce you to the world. But then that's kind of where it departs. And I like that. And we do come back full circle at the end. So I'm like, okay, this is something that we're doing here. It's a little tradition of ours. Admittedly, I've not seen the third one. So I'm interested to see if, you know, they continue that for the third or if they go in a completely different direction. But I loved that. I thought that was great. It kind of tied back into the first film, showed, hey, here's how we've evolved. And here's how we've grown since then. It's the same Burke, but it's a little different now. We race dragons.
We're racing dragons. And the entire town has changed. It's gone from being we are completely against and at odds with the dragons to now we're best friends. We've got a new group of friends. And you kind of could tell that this is definitely going to move into the mode of we're raising Hiccup in order to be the next chieftain. So, okay. So he's got big shoes to fill. And watching this movie, I was also really impressed at how well they were able to help his dad, Stoic, just become, like, just kind of grow in so many different ways and change in to be completely different from how he was and how his relationship was with Hiccup in the beginning of the first movie. And I remember I listened to our episode today and for episode 38, and we were talking a lot about that, just how it was just so sad because it's like they never really had anything to talk about. But now it's like, you know, part of his training is how do we help the people build saddles, you know, for these dragons, you know? So it's like, it's a completely different world. And Hiccup is really feeling like he's got this whole peacemaker and, you know, being Mr. I know how to strike a bargain and make everybody happy. Going for him. And so you can, they do a good job of building that up too and making it just so sad as the movie goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that because I think that's really kind of the big thing that stands out for me when I think about this film. The very first thing that I think of is, oh, yeah, the dad dies. Stoic the Vast is no more. And it's interesting. So I guess we can't talk about him without talking about the mother, Kate Blanchett's character, which is Valka, Stoic's wife. So this is really interesting. She's very much like a Jane Goodall, where she has chosen a life living with the creatures. And she, in a way, kind of becomes one of them. She gives a quote where she's talking about like, oh, we're doing this for our kind. We're doing this. And she's almost referring to herself as a dragon. And I'm like, ooh, that's kind of weird. But that's, I guess, what happens when you have been living by yourself with dragons for 15 plus years. So understandable. And I kind of just expected her from the very beginning. Like they're really planting those seeds and they make it obvious that she likes it here.
Yeah.
You know, she has a son and she's really excited to meet him again. And her son comes back and she thinks it's great. And hey, we have both ride dragons. This is amazing. Look at this cool thing that we're bonding over. But to me, it seems her loyalty is always to the dragons. And as a son, that's like really kind of disappointing because he thinks he's getting his mom back, but she's not willing to give up the dragons in he has dragons, but she needs to live with the dragons, you know, isolated. And so when Stoic comes back,
well, she's trying to bring him over, like, oh, you just come with me. I don't want to go
right,
back there.
Right.
Because, you know, yes, they're different. They won't understand. No one ever changes. I'm staying away.
She doesn't believe what he's trying to tell her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when Stoic comes back, you know, he is so excited. He's found his long lost love. They're going to bring her back. And you know, her cooking is horrible, but it doesn't matter. And you can tell immediately there's like kind of this rift. And it's like, oh, how is this going to work? She's like, oh, sorry, I meant to come back. And you just in that moment, you kind of feel sad for both of them. You can see that she is kind of, she loves him. You know, there's that moment where they kiss and it feels real. It doesn't feel like they're still married. They're still husband and wife. But like, after, you know, after that much time, you would kind of be like, like, I know we're married, but I'm like not into this anymore. You can tell she's in love with him and she likes him. And like that is real. And him even more, the way that he talks about her, like bringing her back. But it just to me, like never felt that that was ever going to happen, which I think is good job on the screenplay and the writing, because we're supposed to show kind of that dichotomy and this these different attitudes towards dragons and living with dragons and living with the people. And Hiccup is really naive. That's one thing I noticed, is that he's still really young in this movie.
Yeah. They aged him up, but he, I mean, what do you think? He was probably like 14 in the first one, so now he's probably like 16.
16 to 18. Yeah. He's still like a teenager to me. And it's good. There's certain moments where he's giving little monologues, you know, motivating everyone, but it still kind of feels like, oh, you're trying to be a leader. This is cute. Yeah. Good job. But you're not quite there yet. Yeah. You'll be a chief one day. It's like, not that it's forced, but maybe it kind of felt forced to me. I don't know if I felt that way, but it was like, oh, way to go, Hiccup. But he just seems a little bit young in his attitude. He's kind of like wide-eyed, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, seeing his parents back together. You know, every kid wants that, right?
Gosh, yeah.
And and then we have to talk about Stoic and ultimately him leaving us.
Oh, gosh. That's the other part with Stoic, is when he sees her again, instead of it becoming this thing of like a rift, it's like he's just like straight grateful to see her and is just very much in love with her. And like he does a really great job of like, hey, Hiccup, like calm down. It's going to take a minute. We got to do this right. Mm-hmm. And like he's so much different than he was in the first movie. In the first movie, he's just doesn't have a lot of like spatial recognition to like other people. And in this one, he's like, okay, everybody's got their own thing. We got to make this figured out. Like, we got to be the selfless one, you know? So he just seems very different. But at the same time, it seems like you accept it as is, because it's like, oh, okay, this is the relationship now because time has passed. And so when he actually goes up and he's with Valka, and then he convinces her to come home, and then it's going to be a big happy family. And of course, you have to rip everything away from our main hero in order for him to come back and build up better at the end and to be able to take those steps to grow himself as opposed to leaning on others. But of course, in, you know, true animated movie fashion, that means we've got to kill one of your parents.
Sorry, choose one. Oh. Can't have both.
Can't have both.
You can have a mom. You can have a dad. Very, very, very rarely can you have two. Okay. And if you do have two, very quickly one's going to pass.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just such a bummer that we have to lose him because he's so good. But it does create a lot more tension and realness to the situation, that it's not like, oh, everything's hunky-dory.
It's really weird though, because you don't really need her. Like, you see her and she's there and you're glad, but and I guess maybe that's why they had her instead of the dad, because it gives Hiccup that opportunity to step up and be that person. It's through the rest of the movie, like, she's there really as just a kind of a plot point to explain how the alpha is with everybody and just to explain
but
that
like, how
situation.
Did you get a hold of this thing? Let's talk about the alpha. So the alpha is like a type of dragon called the Wildebeest. And it's just like this ancient thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, of course, there's this yin and yang. There's like the good one and the bad right. one. You know, one with the good girl, one with the bad guy. And they ultimately clash and her bewilderbeast, dies. I'm like, ugh, again with the death. This makes me so sad. How old is this guy? Thousands upon thousands of years. So, the, you know, then I did like the element of the alpha. It was interesting. And this is where we get back where we're going to, okay, How to Train Your Dragon. This is another way that you can train dragons. And so we have Hiccup's way, which is with kindness, being their friend. He many times he says, like, they are such gentle, kind creatures. And then they're showing, like, you're missing a leg, he's missing a limb, this person has died. I'm like, but are they?
Right.
I know you really, like, really want to believe that.
It's like when I was a kid, I had the best cat, and my cat Patch was the sweetest thing. She always was just the most perfect cat. And then after 12 years, she died, and we ended up, we were gifted another cat. And this cat was like, it was so pretty, and it was just a kitten. And it was, I tell you, this was Gato Diablo. Like, this is the yin and yang of the cat world of, like, I had the perfect cat before, and then my whole idea of cats was ruined by this Gato Diablo, because he would come out of, like, corners and, like, attack you as you were walking by. And it was like, I hate this cat. So, you know, you just have, like, maybe they just, you know, some cats are good and some cats are bad. Some dragons are like, hey, can be trained, and others are like, nope, we're not.
I want your limbs.
I'm hungry. I'm gonna attack you out of the corner of your eye. Yeah, that's my background.
Love it. And then we have Drago, and he has this other way that he believes in controlling, training dragons, which is, you know, not so much of love and more control, total control. Yeah. Another thing with, you know, the dragons is Toothless is the star of the show.
Yeah.
Toothless is this super rare. Everyone knows what type of dragon he is. They're awed by him. He's super smart, super fast, super amazing, very powerful. Ultimately, at the end, becomes the alpha,
right,
which is incredible despite his size. But at the same time, I feel like they use him too much as a comedic character for comic relief.
Uh-huh.
He's supposed to be ridiculously smart, but then a lot of times they just kind of like make him, speaking of cats, like act like a silly cat with, you know, there was like a piece of fire flame flying in the air and he's like batting it away like a cat would. And I'm like, he's supposed to be so intelligent. Like, I'm not buying that this is how he's acting. And maybe I'm like looking way too into it, but I'm like, and he was like fun and goofy in the original one. But I'm like, I don't know.
They did have to play a line, because there was a moment when the mom was like, oh, and he's the same age as you. No wonder you guys get along. So it's like you kind of get that they're both young, they're both learning, and so they're both taking the same like track of both of them are going to be the leaders of their respective species in that, those areas. And so they have to take, they both have to grow up in those ways. So I can see that. And yeah, when they bring in Drago, he's just such an interesting character, because he's got this big dragon scale cape so that fire doesn't bother him.
I thought it was so cool. I loved just that imagery.
Yeah, and he was probably between number two and number three. I think Drago is the better villain, but we will get to number three later. And Drago, he has like this way of like submission. I'm going to swing my little cane around and like make a noise and be the alpha myself. So he's got an interesting way of doing it. When Stoic is telling Hiccup about him, he's like, oh no, there's no talking to this man. And what's funny is like both Stoic and his mother separately have told him, there's no talking to Drago. Like, what are you doing? And like, you obviously have not met this man, but he's talking about, okay, he comes in and Drago's like, calls himself the man of the people. And I'm thinking, what people?
Right. It's just you.
Well, and then later on, you do see his armies of people that are along with him, but it's like, why would anybody go along with this psychopath? Like, and I guess it's just because they are also looking at other people who are following power, and the fact that he's...
That's what great communists do. They like to spin the term and say we're of the people.
Yes,
you
that's
know, the...
true.
Uh-huh.
It is.
Yeah, and that's the semantics that they like to play. So yeah, he was just doing what classic communists, people who want to control, have dominion over other people. Absolutely. He's totally doing the communist playbook right here.
Man of the people. Bring it on. It's so funny when you look at the two, like, obviously you're looking at one side where you have dictatorships that are dark and gray and gloomy, and you have like freedom and free enterprise, you know, and it's like all colorful and happy and everything. It's like the total opposites of what like the spin
is. We see that in the movie.
Yeah,
you know, we see Burke pretty happy, freedom, hey, there, we got a saddle maker, we got this, we got racing, awesome, people are getting engaged, but are they engaged? Yes, lots of good things happening, right? And then we see Drago and what life has brought, and like, oof, just not feeling that.
No bueno.
But anyways, yeah, I think he was a pretty good villain. You know, at the very end, he just sort of like rides away with his Bewilderbeast. And so kind of makes me wonder if he's going to come back. But based on what you said, I don't think he's coming back.
He doesn't come
back. But I thought it was kind of lame that he didn't die. The dragon wasn't necessarily defeated. I'm not saying I want to see anyone be killed, but that's what happens in these movies.
They killed off the dad. Come on now. I mean,
well, they killed off the dad and they killed off the good, you know, Bewilderbeast Alpha. So yeah.
Here we are.
Retribution was definitely in order.
So it's not like they're against killing people off. Like they've done this already. So
yeah.
I guess it's just only the ones that make your heart tingle of like, oh no.
I love the moment with the baby dragons.
Oh yeah.
Where they're like, he's taking all the dragons, where are we gonna go? And then they are riding these just like hilarious little baby dragons that are still struggling to fly, and they're flopping all over the place, and they're like, they're babies, they don't listen to anyone. Like, nice. I thought that was a funny little gag.
Yeah. And they're just like, I can't handle this, flying all over. I like that part too.
Speaking of, you know, those characters, I absolutely love these characters, you know, his group of friends, if you will. I love Toughnut and Roughnut, but I love Roughnut even more. She's the, you know, of the twins, she's the girl, and she's played by Kristen Wiig. She's, you know, a side character, doesn't really have much going on, but she really falls for Arret, who is the dragon trapper, and she has the funniest line. She is so thirsty for this guy. I am just cracking up. Like, I love the moment where they shoot the net and she's like, take me. Oh, I laughed so hard. It's like such a good moment.
Yeah, this was definitely her movie as far as between the twins. Mm-hmm. So you have TJ Miller and Kristen Wiig voicing these two characters, and in the first one they have, you kind of have an equal batting of both of them coming up, and in the second one it's all her, and then as we go on in the next one you'll see it's mostly him, though.
Interesting. Cool.
They changed the voice actor, which I was like, wait, what? But
yeah, anyway. It seems like, I was looking and I was just doing some research, seems like TJ Miller was the only person who really didn't come back. He got too big, too popular after Big Hero 6.
I guess.
Like, see you later, guys. Bummer.
Peace out.
And is it obvious?
It's not super obvious. I didn't notice it the first time I watched number 3, but this time I did. I was like, wait a second. That's not TJ Miller. And mostly because I watched them back to back. I would have watched it separately, I wouldn't have noticed. But
gotcha.
Anyway, like Arret Arretson, you know, the Americanized version of his name is Arretson.
So, Arret, son of Arret. Speaking
so
of,
so handsome.
That reminds me, there's this TV, this is total tangent time. Insert music cue here.
Tangent time. Never need a reason, never need a rhyme. Here we go, it's tangent time. Never need a reason, never need a rhyme. Here we go, it's tangent time.
There is a show on Netflix. It's called The Last Kingdom. and it's about Vikings. It's loosely based on history of different Vikings who took over different parts of England, and they kind of like worked with the King of England at the time. This is like in the 800 BC. And there's Uhtred, son of Uhtred, and he is the main character. So when he said Eret, son of Eret, like, Uhtred, my heart. Pitter patter. Highly, highly recommend. There's 4 seasons. A 5th is currently, you know, filming. So good. I love my Uhtred Viking.
All right. I'll keep that in mind.
I'm thirsty just like Roughnut is.
That's funny. So we're talking about this moment, you know, the pivotal moment where Stoic the Vast dies. And the fact that it is a moment where I always want to say Hiccup and Toothless and like switch them just because they're both weird names. And so,
right.
Anyway, so the moment where you have Toothless, who is taken over, you know, he's not in himself and he's being controlled by the Alpha. And then he is the one that he's actually about to kill Hiccup, but then is saved by Stoic the Vast. And so now Hiccup has this thing where he knows that his best friend, his dog, for lack of a better term, has now killed his dad. And it's just like, oh,
right.
The horror. Oh my gosh. And then it's just like, you just killed off the dad who'd gotten so good after this whole thing. And now just in such a terrible way. But once again, in story writing, you do have to take away everything from the main hero in order for them to overcome that and bring it all back. But man, did we really have to? That's all I think about.
I know. He was the best. I love him. You know, so I want to talk about Astrid. So okay. Astrid is there. She's around. The dragon gang has like a minor, you know, kind of a subplot where they have to go and find Eret to take them to Drago, right? So they do have a plot, but I kind of felt that they kind of just were kind of like an amorphous blob.
Yeah.
Like all the different characters kind of, one didn't really stand out, like one really didn't stand out more than the other. A little bit Astrid is kind of like the leader of that gang.
Yeah.
But we really didn't get a lot of Astrid in this one. I felt like even though she was there and she was very prominent at the very end when she gets back with Hiccup and they do that very passionate kiss. I'm like, oh yeah, you were in this. You know, and they were kind of on their own tracks and doing their own things, and they come together at the very end for that big battle. But even then, they didn't really like work together or do a lot together. So it seems like, oh wow, they had these amazing adventures and they come together at the end, and it just didn't feel like they were kind of in the same movie. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, because
in a weird way, like it just kind of felt like she did her thing, he did his thing. Oh, and we're kissing again. Great. And I would have liked to have seen them. Which I guess we see them in the first movie working together a lot more closely. So maybe that break is good because it really does allow Hiccup to do his own thing, be with his mom and have time with his family without like, hey, mom, I haven't seen in 15 years. Oh, by the way, I have a girlfriend. Hey.
Right. And I think with Astrid, she's such a powerful like personality that you do kind of have to separate her off a little bit in order for Hiccup to, you know, come into his own, because otherwise I feel like her type A personality would just like kind of overshadow him in certain areas. Yeah. Even though she knows like that he is going to be the chief. And so she does, I feel like she does give him enough space to like, to kind of take on that role. But I do see what you're saying as far as like they basically separated him off and had them do their own thing. And she was, you know, you see how she is kind of the one who started the whole mess of getting Drago wanting to come to their Burke anyway, because she was like, oh, yes, he's the dragon master. Like she's trying to throw up all this like wow and pizzazz to make sure that he feels more like afraid of hurting them in some way. But in the end, it actually just gives him even more of a desire to go and destroy her place. So she's like, it's kind of like her fault that this whole thing kind of moved as fast as it kind of did. But Because otherwise he never would have had the desire to be like, oh, the dragon master, and I'm going to take this one right. dragon because he's the main one, you know, the Night Fury is the leader of the pack, you know, so he kind of like she's the one that painted the target on her back. So it's like, sorry.
Right. At the very end, he kind of becomes the anointed new chief now that Stoic is gone. So, you know, we talked about the Order of Secession in a previous podcast, but yeah, so this is definitely kind of like a tribal primogenitor where it is passed from like father to son or firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting. It seemed like there's a lot of very capable Vikings mm-hmm. that definitely could handle the job. But what movie would that? How fun would that right. be for a movie? And we know we're doing a third one of these, so we gotta keep our main character with something to do, something else. You know, he's gonna stroke. Let me guess. Let me try to predict. I literally know nothing about the third movie. Well, okay, so I know that there's like the girl version of Toothless.
Okay.
But I think Hiccup's problem that he's going to have is the weight and the responsibility of being chief. Sort of like, what is this? Is this one of the Aladdin sequels where it's like Aladdin's kind of like feeling like boxed in by being,
I'm
you know,
have to
royal.
Be Sultan? What?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's in the first movie. Yeah. Where he's just like, this is too much. I can't handle it. So I think something's like that. Like, hey, this is Burke. We got dragons. And then it's going to show some like daily chief stuff. And there's probably gonna be like a lot going on. It's going to be, you know, he's going to be doing a great job, but it's really overwhelming, and insert something that happens that causes him and Hiccup, or sorry, yes, the interchangeable names, which causes him and Toothless to go away to one of these little island things, and they're going to meet the White Night Fury. What are these called?
Yeah.
Night Fury?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, wait, is that something else? Yep. That's my prediction. And then just to wrap it up, yeah, bad guy's going to happen. Probably going to have some like weird breakup with Astrid at the very beginning, somewhere in the first act. You know, they're going to be mad at each other, but don't worry, they're like come together at the end. Potentially there will be a wedding, but I just don't really feel that the How to Train Your Dragon series is like wedding material. But I would be pleasantly surprised if she ends up in a white dress at the end.
Well, we shall see. I will not spoil for you.
I really don't think they're going to get married, though.
We will definitely see how this all turns out. I just watched it, so.
And there's going to be babies at the very end of it. They're going to do like the Lady and the Tramp thing. You know, the two Night Furies are going to get together. His name is Hiccup from here on out. Okay. Toothless and Girl Toothless. And at the end, they're going to have the Lady and the Tramp, you know, babies. Some are going to be white. Some are going to be, you know, gray, black. Here we go.
There we go. Well, okay. Well, let's come to the end of this movie. So the end of this movie is, I feel like it is probably one of the best endings that you could do with this movie. And mm-hmm. I felt like it really helped to see both Hiccup and Toothless kind of come more into their own, take up those mantles. And, you know, you get the whole like Toothless is now glowing. So, you know, he glows, uh-huh. gets an extra power pack. I like it. I like how it all ends. And then it ends with his same Hiccup voice being all excited about everything. We've got Hiccup dragons. I really like this movie. And I felt like as far as a leveling up, they did an excellent job leveling up from the first one to the second one. So mm-hmm. I was very proud of them for how it all worked out.
Yeah, I think overall this movie's enjoyable. It's fun. So let's just go into our reviews. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
So I'm going to rate this movie 4 stars. I think it's very, very good. I had a great time. I like that this can almost be a standalone movie. They introduce the conflict. You understand, what is Burke? We got dragons. Okay, great. And off we go. We know Hiccup. We understand his relationship with his dad. Valka's introduced. Bad guy's introduced. Tension, losing the dad. We feel it. It feels real. It's a very sad, hard moment when we lose Stoic the Vast. And I just thought that I wasn't really bored during this movie. I enjoyed myself as I was watching it. And it made me excited for this franchise. It actually made me want to go back and rewatch the first one because the first one is just so, so good. Mm-hmm. But simultaneously, I'm really excited to now go and watch the third one for our next episode. So sometimes we pick a movie and I'm not so excited, but this did a really great job of teeing off. And so a great, you know, second part to the trilogy, 4 stars.
I'm also going to give this 4 stars. I'm actually even teetering on 4.5 because I just felt like every key point that they needed to hit, they hit. And the animation is something that I always remember. The music does a great job. And the characters themselves have a lot of growth and just even the secondary characters add a lot more fun to it, you know, as we were talking about, the rough nut with the Arret, son of Arret, and even the other guys who are trying to win over Rough Nut, even though she's just because she is literally the only girl on this island. And so they have to like figure this out. And even, you know, the Rough Nut to Tough Nut, they're a little back and forth, you know, the fact that they hate each other and they're twins. It's just kind of funny. So I felt like they did a really great job in this one, and I think I am going to go for 4.5 stars. Good job, DreamWorks. Nice.
Whoop, whoop.
Yay.
So we want to know what you rate this movie. Be sure to go to our Instagram post for this episode and give us your reviews there. All right, Chelsea. So normally we switch off between a nerdy couch discussion and the main event or a review podcast, but last week, the last few episodes, we did 2 Nerdy Couch discussions back to back. So to make up for that, we are going to give you 2 main review episodes back to back. So get ready, hop on your dragons, because next episode, we are going to be reviewing How to Train Your Dragon 3. And I am so pumped. I'm so excited. I'm really interested to see how my predictions fare.
All right. I'll say you have some things good and some things not.
Some things totally after like...
There are things that you nailed quite a bit, and then there are other things that you got way wrong.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so it's going to be fun. I'm really excited. This is just a great testament to how good this franchise is.
Yeah.
And I mean, the third one I have not seen, so I'm leaving my final thoughts for that. But I just love myself a good trilogy.
Yeah.
And they've really done a great job with 1 and 2.
So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and read one of our 5-star reviews. We had some time where we were off for a while, and so it's been fun to kind of go back and read some of the old 5-star reviews that we never got to before. So this one is from Dr. Fun Times, and he says, "They live again? Question mark? 5 stars. I have an on-again, off-again relationship with animation review shows. This is an easy one to go back to. Regardless of whether you agree with the reviews or reasoning behind why they like or dislike something, there is a genuine enthusiasm and affection for animation that comes through the host discussion. It's like eavesdropping on your weird friends. I'm glad they're back. It's a great time to love animation." Aw, I'm so glad we're your weird group of friends.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Fun Times. From one weird friend to another, thank you for your 5-star review. Thank you so much to anyone who has left us a 5-star review. It is the simplest, easiest, best way to support the show. Our goal is to get to 500 reviews. So if you haven't left one yet, super easy. Just click on your podcast app and give us a little 5-star ching ching. And until our next episode, How to Train Your Dragon 3. I am super pumped for it. Once we get done hitting record, I'm actually going to go watch it right now. That's how excited I am to check out this movie. So until next time. We are the Rotoscopers. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So, why are you smiling?
Works out for me.
Okay.
I had a thought and then I'll say it during the podcast.
Okay. So, Chelsea.
Yes.
Hold on. How do I want to do this? Should have thought of something like cool.
All right, let's jump on our All right.
Up on our saddle and let's fly away.
Let's sit back in your saddle and head on off onto the into the horizon, everyone. Oh, that's a lame. Good blooper, though.
I'll tell you when it's lame. It's lame.
Good bloopers, though. You know.
Yes, for the bloopers. Sure.
Shut up. So this.
So with that, okay. So with that, let's hop on your saddle and ride like the wind, Toothless. Also kind of a lame.
Also kind of lame.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'll just stick with my first one. Okay.
You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag AnimationAddicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and interviews. Thanks for listening.